This is KERA News. I'm Bill Zeeble. On Tuesdays, KERA's American Graduate Initiative charts the journey from childhood to graduation. Today, an inside look at a high school debate team and what it takes to compete against some of the nation's, even world's, top high school debaters. A dozen high school debate teams descend on the old Parkland Hospital. Billionaire Harlan Crow has renovated the site and added something that makes debaters drool. An American colonial-style, state-of-the-art oak debate hall. The goal? Be one of the two best teams to make the final round in this hall.
This room is magnificent. I worry that in this age, debate is a forgotten art.
Byron Arthur coaches a high school team from New Orleans.
A room like this pays homage to the history of debate. It's a beautiful thing, it's a civil thing, but yet it's a very important part of our tradition here in the United States.
A Dallas team is among the competitors. It's from the Hockaday School, which has a strong debate tradition. Three young women want to make it to this grand hall. In order to do that, Hockaday coach Charles Waltz says they've got to do better than last year.
We did not do very well. It was kind of our first outing into that format, and we got worked pretty hard.
This year's team has practiced for weeks. They recently gathered in a small room at Hockaday, typing notes on their laptops, preparing their arguments. 10th grader Kaylee Beecham, at 15, is the youngest member of the team. She loves researching tough issues and the gamesmanship of debate.
I like the competition element. It's really fun to be able to sort of test out your skills and test out your strategy against another person. And I also love to write, so I love writing cases.
Teammate Sahar Masoudian, an 11th grader, also likes the pressure.
I have 7 minutes. How much can I get into that 7 minutes to make it the most effective thing that's going to be able to persuade my judge, persuade my opponent, persuade everybody that I'm right and my opponent is wrong?
The Hockaday team debated for 5 hours Friday on five different topics. They knew all subjects in advance. In most debates, they even knew the side they'd argue, but not on the last final round. That was up to a coin toss. The topic? Whether unilateral military action is justified to minimize nuclear proliferation. To be ready, Hockaday students, including Emma Deshpande, weighed all sides.
We kind of set the standard for who is and who isn't allowed to own these nuclear weapons through a lens of quote-unquote American values and kind of what we see as our democratic principles, which is pretty neocolonialist because it fails to take into account kind of the relative cultures of those different countries.
The team discussed how to argue the opposing side. Kaylee was typing her team's arguments.
The opposition part, should we try to stop nuclear proliferation, doubting whether it would be a bad thing in all cases? Is it a big enough threat to where we should do this anyway? And do we need to stop it in the first place?
During this final debate Friday, Hockaday won the coin toss and got to pick their side. They chose what may be the tougher route, arguing against unilateral military action. The team says they like contrarian views. In this debate, Hockaday may have chosen the steeper climb, but also failed to reach the top. Its Canadian competitors won the last debate. Still, Sahar was pleased with her team's performance.
This resolution kind of affects me personally because I'm Iranian. So I honestly enjoyed being opposition because I feel like I was able to express a lot of views that, the U.S. may not agree with or the current political sphere doesn't seem to agree with. And I think it's very important to have these discussions, to hear different views.
Her team did better than last year, but did not emerge among the top two. So Hockaday didn't get to debate in the Grand Hall. Instead, the team from England defeated debaters from Argentina. Hockaday, however, hopes one day to return. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.